Sanhedrin, Perek Yud, Mishnah Dalet, 10:4. Now, if you've been keeping track, at the end of the last Perek, we finished the third of the four ways by which the Beis Din might execute someone for a capital crime, and that was Hereg. Since Hereg means literally just killing, it's also referred to as Saif. Saif means sword, and it refers to beheading, of which there were two crimes, averas, that would be potentially liable to such a punishment. One was murder, and the other was the people of the Ir HaNidachas. Now, the Ir HaNidachas is the wayward city. It's a city in Israel which has turned to idolatry. And the build-up for the last three Mishnah is talking about who doesn't get Olam Haba, or resurrection, so was sort of a lead-up to the following opening words of our Mishnah here, which is Anshei Ir HaNidachas Ein Lem Chelek L'Olam Haba. The men of the Ir HaNidachas, that wayward city, don't have a portion in the world to come. So we're putting aside now everyone else who doesn't have a world to come, going back to the topic of the Ir HaNidachas and explaining how that works, which is the topic for the next three Mishnayos, which is really the rest of the Perek. Now, Ir HaNidachas is interesting and peculiar relative to everything else in two basic ways. Normally when a person is convicted for avodah zarah, serving idols, so then the consequences would be, if you had Edom and Hasra, witnesses and warning, all the rest of it, you would have skila, stoning. But if you are part of Ir HaNidachas, and the people who are part of the Ir HaNidachas who turn towards idolatry, if they meet certain criteria, which our Mishnayos now will discuss, so then instead of getting skila, they get hereg, they get saif instead. There actually are two basic differences. The first is the mode of execution, and the second is that there's a special rule, which is that the all the property in the Ir HaNidachas has to be destroyed. It's basically all burned, and therefore the heirs of the people who are found guilty in the Ir HaNidachas inherit nothing, and even the people who were not guilty, they were innocent, that meaning they didn't serve idols, still whatever they had in the city would get burned, and the city's not ever rebuilt again. So we have to now define at what point a person's actions are considered to be part of Ir HaNidachas, and they get this other kind of punishment instead of the usual skila. Okay? So, first thing first, the Mishnah says, is Anshei Ir HaNidachas Ein Lem Chelek L'Olam Haba, the men of the whatever wayward city, they don't have a portion of the world to come. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Yatsu ha'anashim b'nei v'li'al. If it's heard that people, men of b'li'al, translate that as lawless, that's the article translation, lawless men have gone out, mikir becha, from your midst, v'yadichu. This word lahadiach is like to push aside, and that's the term Ir HaNidachas, the pushed aside city, if you will, is coming from that word here. Yadichu es yoshve iram. They set astray the inhabitants of their city. Okay, so the drasha here basically, according to Bartanur, is from the word belial, which is a strange word, lawless men, if you will. It's seen as being sort of a contraction of two words, beli and ya'al. Bli means without. Ya'al, like the word like aliyah, to go up. Ya'al, they will not go up. Okay, so these people are without resurrection, in other words. So these people wouldn't be having tchiyas ameisim and then going on to olam haba. Hence the Mishnah here saying they're not getting a portion of the world to come. There is another indication in the pasuk that we're talking about people losing their olam haba, because it says the yedichu, they're pushed away, meaning they're pushed away from the presence of Hashem, not getting olam haba. Therefore, according to the Bartanura, this is referring to all the participants in the Ir HaNidachas who serve idols. They lose their portion of the world to come, and that would be, of course, only if they did not actually get punished. Because if they get punished, so then, assuming they did, you know, tshuva, confession before they were killed, so then the punishment of the actual execution at the hands of the Beis Din, as well as, like, the, you know, the decomposition on the grave and so on, would be the atonement, if you will, that would pay for their crime, and therefore if they had other merits and had done tshuva, so then they would indeed get olam haba. So this is referring to those who don't get punished. They would think they're getting away with it, but they're not. There are others who learn that since this pasuk in context is referring, the pasuk is talking about the anashim b'nei b'li'al, b'mikrebecha, those are actually the instigators. They're like the missionaries, we'll call them, who led the city astray. So there are those who learn that the people who don't have Olam Haba are not the participants in the Avodah Zarah, but rather the people who led them astray, the instigators. And those people, because they did such a terrible crime, leading a whole city astray, they're the ones who are losing their Olam Haba, and not the regular residents. Okay, so now, the next part of the mission wants to say that to reach the status of an Ir Nidachas, several criteria need to be met. And the truth is, if you take the four criteria set out in the Mishnah, plus another one in the Gemara, and two more that the Rambam speaks out, really at basically seven criteria at least to make something Ir Nidachas. Okay, so the four of our Mishnah have to do with who these people are and how it works. So basically, the Mishnah will say the missionaries, the people who are sending the people astray, have to be residents of that town. They have to be members of the shevet, which the town represents. They have to be specifically men, because the pasuk talks to them being men. Mikir becha from your midst. That's why the men from the town and from the shevet. And they have to set the majority of the town in the ways of idol worship. Okay, those are the four that our Mishnah lists out. In addition, the Gemara speaks out there have to be at least two of them, because it says anashim, men, plural. And the Rambam adds also that because it talks about an ear, it can't be a small little village, which means it has to be at least 100 inhabitants, and it can't be like a big krach, a big city. It has to be an ear, which is like a town, if you will. So it has to be a minority of the shevet, minority of the tribe who are residents in that city, to be considered ir nidachas. Okay, so that's where we're headed here. Now the Mishnah says, inside, ve'en neharagim, they don't get punished as ir nidachas, you know, idol worshippers, ad shu madicheha ma'osa ir, unless the people who were the missionaries who set them astray were residents of that city, uma'oso shevet, and they were members of that particular tribe where the city was located, vad she yudach ruba, and it has to be that the majority of the city was set astray, vad sheedichum anashim, and it has to be that it was men, specifically as opposed to women, who did the leading astray. If hidichuan nashim uktanim, if the people who did the leading astray had been women or children, o shehudach miuta, or if only a minority of the city was led to idolatry, o shehayu madicheha chutzala, or if the people who were doing the missionaries who were doing the leading astray were out of towners, hare elo kiyachidim. So then all of the people who worship idols in that town are judged as individual idol worshippers as opposed to members of an Ir Nidachas, and therefore they would be getting skila, and they would have, their heirs would inherit their stuff. Further says the Mishnah, utzrichin shnei edim hasra l'chol echad v'echad. You need to have two witnesses and a hasra, a warning, for each and every person individually. So the way that the Gemara describes it, they'll set up, you know, like a lot of batei din throughout the city to try everybody promptly, and it's to confirm that each and every person who is potentially a member of this Ir Nidachas who served idols will confirm that they indeed did by having these witnesses. And they need hasra. Now, obviously, every capital crime needs edim and hasra. So the point of this Mishnah is, at least according to Aruch Haner and others, is that they had to have hasra. They had to be warned that their participation in idol worship as part of the city would lead them to be treated as members of an Ir Nidachas. If they didn't have that particular warning, then that wouldn't be sufficient to treat them as an Ir Nidachas. Therefore, says the Mishnah, Zechomer b'yachidim miba merubim. And therefore, there's a stricture that applies to individual idol worshippers as opposed to like a group of them as part of Ir Nidachas. Sheyachidim b'skila, because individual idol worshippers get the more severe punishment of skila. And lefikach, and therefore, mamonim palet, and therefore at least their assets escape. Meaning that the idol worshipper is executed through skila, but then their heirs inherit their possessions, their assets. On the other hand, v'hamarubim, if we're talking about a people from Ir Nidachas who meet all this criteria, then besayef, then their punishment is at the hand of the sword, hereg, lefikach mamonim abed, but then like some sort of like countervailing rationale is that their mamonim, their assets, their property, aved, it's lost, meaning it's destroyed, and their heirs do not inherit it.